Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Ksubos has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman, Leila Nishmas of Yaakov ben Matasio Zatzal and Chaya Bas Pesach.
Ksubos Daf Tes Zayin. The Mishnah says, Moide Rabbi Yeshua ba'omel chaveri sada zu shel avicha hoysa ulkachtia heimenu shehu nemon shehapesha asar hu hapesha hiter. Rabbi Yeshua is Moide. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what he's moide to. But Rabbi Yeshua, who in certain instances holds that you cannot be moitzi moment so easily, you can't use a migu or a bari with chazaka, nevertheless, in this case, you could be moitzi moment. And the case is where a person says to another person, this field was your father's, but I bought it from him. Now, when we have edim that somebody was the marakama, so unless you have edim to cheskes gimel shonim, you cannot be moitzi that karka with a taina that you bought it. Because the marakama is always seen as the muhsik by karka. By metaltlin, the muhsik is the person who's holding on to it. But by karka, anybody could just walk onto the karka. So what creates muhzokus by karka? The marakama, the established original owner. So when there's an established original owner, and then I come and tell that established original owner, I bought it from you or from your parents, I'm not nemon even if I'm standing on the field, unless I can produce edim that I was there for 3 years, and that's called the cheskes gimel shonim. Or unless I produce a shtar that says I bought it. However, in this case, I have an advantage that the other person doesn't have edim that it was his father's. It's only through me that he knows that it was his father's. So essentially, I'm being moide to the muhzokus. But at the same time, I'm claiming that I bought it. And therefore, I'm nemon midin hapesha aser hu hapesha hiter. Now, Rabbi Chanan over here in the Kovet Shiurim brings down the machloikis that is brought later on Daf Chav Beis by a woman who says, Eishes isha yisi ugrusha ani. She wants us to believe that she's now single and she could get married. If we were to know that she was an Eishes ish, then her claim that she's a grusha is invalid, because you need to have edim that say that she got divorced. Unless, of course, she's in front of her baal, where we have a special chazaka that ain isha me'iza paneh b'fnei baila. But if she just says grusha ani, we don't believe her. However, if she's the one who provided us with the information that she was previously an eishes ish, then we have the same rule called hapesha asar hu hapesha hiter. The mouth that created the iser is the one that's being matir. We only know it through her, and therefore she's nemenes to say that she's also a grusha. Now, there's a machloikis over there in Daf Chav Beis. If the claim that she's a grusha must be made b'toich kedei dibur from when she says that she was an eishes ish. If a woman, let's say, first says eishes ish ani, and then after several minutes, more than toich kedei dibur, she says grusha ani, is she nemenes? Do we say that she's the one who provided us with the information and you still have a pesha asr hu a pesha hiter? Or do we say that it has to be toich kedei dibur? Rabbi Chanan explains that this machloikis is dependent on the understanding of the din of Pesha Aser. Because there are two ways that you can understand this halacha of Pesha Aser or Pesha Hiter. One way is that it's like a migu, like any other migu. It's maybe a stronger migu, but it's a migu. A migu is based on the fact that I could have tined something else, I'm nemon with the tiner that I'm tining now. And similarly, a person has a migu diboy shasek. Had she not said anything, then we would have understood that she's not married and that she's allowed to get married, because we had no information as to any marriage that she was just mechadish to us. And therefore, she has a migu diboy shaska. Migu, that she could have been quiet, and we wouldn't have entertained the fact that she's married, so she's also in a menace to say that she is a grusha. Now, if that's the way you understand the din of Pesha Asar, then you would need to have Toich Kedei Dibur, says Rabbi Chanan. Because every migu, there's a rule called migu l'mafreya lo yamrinan. And he brings it to us in Baba Basar Daf Lamed Daled. We never believe a person that because yesterday they didn't taina a certain taina, we therefore believe them today on the taina that they're tining today. And therefore, if she said yesterday she's an eishes ish, and it's today that she's claiming that she's a grusha, we don't say migu that she could have been quiet yesterday. However, he says, if the din of Pesha Aser is not mitam migu, rather, it's a rule that if you were the sole provider of certain information, you're the one who's in control of being matir, and not because we have evidence that you're telling the truth based on the fact that you could have been quiet. Rather, because mipia anu chayin, we only know the information through her. And she's the one who's telling us that that information doesn't make her aser because she's a grusha. Then, says Rabbi Chanan, you would not need to have Toich Kedei Dibur, because the provider of the information is always Nemon to say whether that information creates an Isser or not. And Rabbi Chanan brings down that this is a machlokes rishonim. Tosfos in our perek in numerous places is muchach that it is mitam migu. However, he says that from Tosfos in Bobasar daf kuchav ches, it's muchach that it's not mitam migu, it's because it is nun amonis that she is the provider of the information. Now asks Rabbi Chanan, on the shitas, that it is not mitam migu, that it's a nun amonis, that there's a gemara on our daf that seems to be mafurish, that it is mitam migu. Because the Gemara, when discussing this part of the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shua is moide, in the case of Saradu Shalavicha Hoysa Ulkachtiya Imenu, the Gemara at Lamaskana says that Rabbi Shua is really referring to his machlekes with Rabbi Gamliel in the first parak of Anoisiya Se'ishav Le Motzala Besulim. Somebody married a woman and found her not to be a Besula. He Aymeres Bisherestani Nenasti. The woman says that at the time that you were Makadish me, I was a Besula. But later on, I was Nensa. And therefore, there's no mekach tois, and it was nistach v'sadeyu. The husband, on the other hand, says, no, it was before the erison took place, and therefore it was a mekach tois. Now, she has a migu, that she could have said, mukas eitz ani tachtecha. Instead of saying, misheres tani nenasti, which passels her l'kahuna, she could have said a taina, which wouldn't passel her l'kahuna. And Rabbi Shua argues in that migu, and he says that the isha is not nemenis. Lo mipia anu chayin. But our Gemara explains that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shua says, Bahai Migu, with this Migu, the Hacha of our Mishnah, Maidina Lucha. It's only the Migu over there that I disagree with. And then the Gemara asks, Michti, Hai Migu, Vahai Migu. They're both Migus. Maishna Hai Migu, Mehai Migu. So Rabbi Chanan says that you see from the Gemara's Kasha, Lehedya, like the Tzad, that a Pesha Aser is Midin Migu. Because otherwise the Gemara would never ask such a question. So what are those Shitas that hold that Pesha Aser is a Nuna Manas? What do they do with the Gemara's Kasha? Answers Rabbi Chanan that those shitas will have to learn that that's gufa what the Gemara answers over there. What is the Gemara's teretz? Hacha ein shor shachut lefanecha, hasam hari shor shachut lefanecha. What does this mean? So Rashi explains as follows. Rashi says, Hacha gabi sada ein shor shachut lefanecha, sheyala alev ba'olav litvoya mi shachtoi. It's not as if there's something in front of us that's causing the son of the alleged original owner to question the person who's in the field. Because the person who's in the field is the one that provided us with the information that it was this guy's father's. And without his admission that it once was this person's father's, the son would never have questioned, what are you doing in this field? So it's like there's no shur in front of us that we start to ask, who shechted this shur? If the person who was in the field would have been quiet, nobody would have complained. Hilkach ilav de davar pashit ushalach emenu. If it wasn't a davar pashit, lo yhaya aymer lo shelavicha haisa. He never would have said that it was your father's. However, in the case of a person who was leimotza besulim, the lack of besulim is what causes him to question, where are the besulim? There's a shar shachar lefanecha. So he says, afal pish yesh lo lahashiv taina toiva mizu. She has a way to respond to the question. She could have said a better taina than the one that she's taining now, but lo yamrinan migu. We don't say migu, the dilma lo yaska adaita. Maybe she didn't think of the other taina, or maybe she's making a harama. Maybe she knows that there's a concept called migu and she's neman with this taina. So she doesn't bother saying the other taina. Whatever it is, Rabbi Shua is not willing to agree to the concept of migu. But he's saying that migu is something that's only applicable when somebody's being asked a question and he has to answer it. Mashenkin over here, it's fundamentally different than migu because I'm not responding to a question. So Rabbi Chanan wants to explain that those shitas that hold, that pesha aser does not work like a migu, learn that that is gufa what the Gemara is answering. That a pesha aser is not mitam migu. Migu is something that Rabbi Shua doesn't agree to. But by a pesha aser, since it's not shor shachar lefanecha, we don't have to resort to using the mechanism called migu, and we have something more basic, which is that you're the sole provider of the information. And we could take Rav Chanan's hesber a step further and say that if you take a look at Tosfos in Dibra Maschal Hasam Shor Shachar Lefanecha, Tosfos learns differently than Rashi, and they learn that we are talking about a case where the person is being teveya, as Tosfos explains in great length in Dibra Maschal Hachinami Mestavra. It's just that the person who's in the field can deny when he's asked the question, what are you doing in my father's field? He could say it was never your father's. He has the ability to deny the fact that it was ever his father's, as opposed to by Bsula, where it's impossible for her to deny the fact that she's not a Bsula. She has to concede the fact that she's not a Bsula and just explain why not. Mashenka, the person who's in the field, he doesn't have to concede the fact that it was once his father's and explain how he got it. He could theoretically say it was never your father's. And that is in line with what Tosfos holds, as Rabbi Chanan himself explains, that Tosfos throughout our perek is of the opinion that Pesha Aser is Midin Migu. And Tosfos over here is also explaining that the Pesha Asr works midin migul like the Gemara assumed in its Kasha, and it's just explaining that there's something better about this migul than other migus. So it comes out that we have two hezberim in what a Pesha Asr is. Is it midin migul or is it its own special nemonis? And one nafgamina is whether it needs to be betoich kedei dibur or not. And the other nafgamina is how to understand the Gemara's teretz of shor shachot lefanecha. Since the whole nemonis of Rabbi Yeshua is built on, as we explained, the Pesha Asr or Pesha Hitter, the Mishnah continues and says that therefore, im yesh edim, shehi shel aviv, hu aimer lekachtiyah heimenu, einoi nemon. If the fellow whose parents originally owned the karka has edim that it was once his karka, so the one who's trying to be moitzi the karka from him no longer has a Pesha Asr or Pesha Hitter, because he's not the sole source of information that it belonged to this person's father. Now there is a machlokes rishonim as to whether this halacha that im yesh edim shehishal aviv is true even if he brings edim later that it was once his father's. Meaning, if Reuven tells Shimon, this karka was once your father's, and I bought it from your father. So right now, Shimon has no edim that it belonged to his father. Reuven has a pesha aser. And we therefore believe him and let him stay in the karka. What happens if at some later point, Shimon produces edim that it was once his father's? Do we now undo the pesha aser that Reuven originally had or not? The Shita Mekubetzes explains Bedas Rashi that even if at a later point Shimon will produce Edim that the Sada used to belong to his father, the Pesha Aser is undone and he could take the Karka back from Reuven. And with this, he answers a kasha that Tosfos asks on Rashi. Because Tosfos on Daf Tesvav Mabez in Dibra Maschul Umoide brings down the Shitas Rashi, which we mentioned earlier. Rashi is of the opinion that Rabbi Yeshua's din of Oimer L'chaveri Sada Zu Shalavicha Hoysa Ulkachtiya Heimenu, that is Neman Machmas Pesha Aser, is only in a case where Shimon is not being Teveya Reuven. Because if Shimon is being Teveya Reuven, then it's not as if Reuven could have totally kept quiet and kept the field. He has to respond to the Taina of Shimon. That's how Rashi explains the concept of Shor Shachar Lefanecha as we explained earlier. And Tosfos asks on Rashi that if that's true, then why does it say in the Sefer, V'im yesh edim, she'ishal aviv, v'u aimer lekachtia imenu enei nemon? It sounds like from the Reisha that the only time that Reuven would not be nemon is dafka where Shimon produces edim. But if he has no edim that it was once his father's, then Reuven is nemon, even if Shimon happens to be Teveya Reuven, because otherwise the Mishnah should have said a bigger Chiddush. The Mishnah should have said that im Shimon Teveya l'Reuven, then he's also not Neman. And therefore, Tosfos is of the opinion that no matter what, Reuven would be Neman, even if Shimon's being Teveya him, since he has a Migu that he could have said that it's not your father's, since Shimon doesn't have Edom. Says the Shittim Kubetzes in defense of Rashi, that really, Reuven's Nemanus is Dafka, where Shimon is not being Teveya him. If Shimon is being Teveya him, then he does not have a Pesha Aser. However, the reason why the Mishnah goes out of its way to say V'im yesh edim shishal aviv, then only over there you're not Nemo, which makes it sound like if he doesn't have edim, then even if Shimon is being Teveya him, Reuven is Nemon, is really in order to tell me the Chiddush that as long as Shimon produces edim, even if those edim are produced at a later point, it still undoes Reuven's Pesha Aser. So Le'olam, he says that Rashi is right. If Shimon is Teveya Reuven, Reuven is no longer Nema because he doesn't have a Pesha Aser. And the only way that you could be Moitzi Karka from somebody is using a Pesha Aser. Migo is not enough. The fact that he theoretically could have responded to his Taina by being Koifer and saying it was never your father's is not enough. Reuven would not win with that type of Migu. He needs Dafka Pesha Aser. So if Shimon's being Teveya him, he doesn't have a Pesha Aser. The reason, though, that the Mishnah says Dafka M'yesh Edim, when Shimon produces Edim, that's where Reuven is not Neman, is not in order to tell me that if Shimon is Teveya him, he's still Neman. He's not Neman. The Mishnah is just trying to tell me that any time that Shimon produces Edim, even if it's at a later point, Reuven then loses the Nemanis that he previously had. That is the Chiddush that lies in the words of the Seifa, Im yesh edim shushal aviv, v'huam l'kachtiyem enu enoi neman. The Shita adds that even though the Mishnah says later that a woman who says, I was captured amongst the Goyim, but nobody was mizana with me, I am tahira. So the Mishnah says she's Nemanis because she has a Pesha Asar. And then it says that if there are edim that say that she was captured, she no longer has the Pesha Asar, and therefore she's not Nemanis. However, the moment they were mater her to get married, for example, in a case where there were no edim saying she was captured, so she has a pesha aser, and then Bezin allowed her to get married because they believed her. If after they were mater her to get married, edim then come and say that she was captured, she still retains her heter. So you see that once a person is neman midin pesha aser, it doesn't help to bring edim later and undo the pesha aser. Says the Shita, that's a special kula by shvuya, as we find other kulas that Chazal made by shvuya. But in a regular pesha aser, if you bring edim later, you undo the pesha aser the person originally had, and the person, in our case, would then have to give back the karka. Now Rabbi Chanan in Bava Basra, in the Kevitz Shiurim, or his Kufyud Aleph and Kufyud Beis, has a discussion about this topic. And he explains, based on the same distinction that we drew earlier, between the way Rashi views our Mishnah and the way Tosis views our Mishnah. We explained that Rashi's understanding of Pesha Asar is not a migu. Rather, it's a new nemonis built on the fact that this person is the sole source of our information. And since he's the way that we know the information to begin with, we only know that it was this person's father through him. He therefore is also neman to say that that information does not incriminate him. So he could say that he bought the karka. Now, if that's the way that you understand the nemonis of a pesha aser, then there's absolutely no reason to say that the nemonis remains if edim later come, because no longer is he the sole source of our information. Now we know it through edim, and therefore he loses the control that he has over that information. So it comes out that the hesber that the Shita is saying, Bedas Rashi, is only because Rashi l'shitasoi, as we explained earlier, holds that the nemonis of Pesha Aser is a new nemonis. However, if you understand that the way that Pesha Aser works is as a glorified migu, it's just a migu instead of a migu that I could have tainted a different taina, it's a migu di boy shasik, I could have kept quiet, then it's possible to understand that in the event that edim come later, the person does not lose his nemonis. Because over there, Rabbi Chanan has a lengthy discussion concerning whether in a regular case of migu, if we later produce edim that go keneged the taina that he could have tainted, does that undo his nemonis of migu or not? He brings down the Shita of the Ramah that would undo the nemonis of the migu. However, he shows that the Shita of the Rimigash and the Rambam is not like the Ramah. If edim come after a person is already neman midin migu, and they're made against the taina that the person could have tainted, we still remain with the nemonis of migu. Now, if Tosfos is of the opinion of the Rimigash and the Rambam, that l'gabe the nemonis of migu, even if edim come later, you don't undo the person's migu, then it makes a lot of sense why Tosfos would ask their kasha on Rashi and don't have the option of giving the teretz that the Shidim Kubetzes gave. Tosfos asked on Rashi that why does the Mishnah say the case that if edim come, then the person doesn't have his pesha aser anymore? According to you, Rashi, even if there are no edim, but the person is just teveya, he's also not Nemon. And the Shita Mekubetzes answered, Bidas Rashi, that La'olam, even if he's Teveahim, he's not Nemon. The reason the Mishnah says, Yesh Edim, then he's not Nemon, is only in order to tell me the Chiddush, that if the Edim will come later, it also undoes his Pesha Aser. Tosfos doesn't see that as an option, because Tosfos L'shitasam, as we explained, understand that the Din Pesha Aser works Midin Migu, not Midin the new Nemonis. And we just learned that the Shita of the Rambam and the Rimigash is that when it comes to a regular Migu, a person is Nemon with his Migu, even if Edim come later. Rashi is not bothered by this question because Rashi doesn't see the nemonis of Pesha Aser as being Midin Migu. He holds that Migu would not help you over here. And since Migu doesn't help you, like Rashi explains, we don't say the nemonis of Migu, and it could be because it's a Migu Lohoitzi. But for whatever reason, Migu doesn't work, you therefore have to resort to the special nemonis of Pesha Aser. The special nemonis of Pesha Aser is undone the moment you become no longer the source of our information. Now, what exactly is the difference between the nemonis of Pesha Aser that Rabbi Chanan explains for a Dover Pashit, that if Le'edim subsequently come, then you lose the nemonis, and the nemonis of the Din Migu, which Lefi the Rambam and the Rimigash, even if Edim come later, you still retain the nemonis of Migu. So Rabbi Chanan explains that the Hezber and the Rimigash and the Rambam is that they hold that the Tam of Migu, the Hezber and the Nemonis of Migu, is built on what we call Malei L'Shaker. It's a raya that the person must be telling the truth. Because why would the guy lie? If he's not telling the truth, and he's looking to lie so that he could win, he has another lie that he knows he can get away with. Malei l'shak, what does he have to lie for? He has a different taina that he could get away with, and since he didn't use that taina, it must be that he's telling the truth. Says Rabbi Chanan, if that's how you understand the nemanus of migu, it makes a lot of sense that even if Edim come later and tell us that the taina that he could have tainted is not true, it's not a valid taina, nevertheless, we still have a raya that at the time that he was tining his taina, he was telling the truth. Because then we didn't yet produce the Edim that said can negate the taina that he could have tainted. So we're still left with the kasha of Malei l'shakar. Why did the guy have to lie at the time? So that haichacha, says Rabbi Chanan, doesn't get undone later when we discover that the taina that he could have tainted is false. Because he still could have gotten away with it then, since then we didn't have the Edim. Apparently he doesn't see it as an option to say that maybe the guy didn't taina that taina because he knew that there were Edim keneged that taina. So it comes out that we have a hesber in the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos as to whether if Edim subsequently come, does that undo your Pesha Aser or not? According to Rashi, it undoes your Pesha Aser, as the Shita Mekubetzes explains Bedas Rashi, and the Hezber says Rabbi Chanan, is because Rashi's Lashitase that he holds that the whole Nemonis of Pesha Aser is not Midin Migu. Migu would not help you in our case, and therefore you have to use the new Nemonis called Pesha Aser that's built on the fact that you are the sole provider of the information. Once you become no longer the sole provider of information, you lose the Nemonis of Pesha Aser. Masha Enki Toisfis, who asked their Kasha and Rashi and don't accept the Teretz of the Shita Mekubetzes, is also Lashitasam that they hold that the Nemonis of our Mishnah of Pesha Aser is Midin Migu. If you understand, like the Rambam and the Rimi Gash, that Rabbi Chanan brings down, that when it comes to regular nemonis of migu, even if you produce edim later, we don't undo the nemonis because we still have the raya and the hechach that he was telling the truth, and we'd understand why Tosfos wouldn't accept the teretz of Rashi. Based on Rabbi Chanan's hesber, we can even add that the teretz that the Shita Mekubetzes gave earlier to the kasha from the Gemara later that says that when a woman is captured, she tells us, "I was captured, but I wasn't nensa," so we know that she's nemenes with a pesha asar. And over there, after we're matter her, even though later somebody comes and says that I know she was captured, so we have Edim that she was captured, she doesn't lose the Pesha Aser. We don't retroactively undo her Pesha Aser. And the Shita asks, what's the difference between what Rashi's saying over here and what we see in the Gemara later? So the Shita answered that that was a special kula by Shvuya, by a captive, but it's not something that we apply in other places. Based on Rabbi Chanan's Hesber, we can explain the oimik of that teretz. It wasn't simply that they decided to be makel by Shvuya, and by Mammon, we don't allow the Kula. Rather, there is a Geder. By Shvuya, they said, we accept the Nemonis of Migu. And as Rabbi Chanan explains, Migu is something that you don't lose when later on Edim come and go Kenega the Taina that you could have Tainted. Because we still have the Haychacha of Malei l'Shakar. By Shvuya, they said, we accept the Haychacha of Malei l'Shakar. Masha'en came by Mammon, we require more. As Rashi says, it could be Leaska Daite, it could be Irumi Kama'arim. There's no Raya from Migu. You need Raya. So the Haychacha of Malei l'Shakar is not on the same level of Raya as Edim. Masha'en came by Shvuya, they were willing to accept that Haychacha. By Mammon, you need the new Nemonis of Pesha Aser. The Gemara says, Taima de Ike Edim. The Gemara is going on the beginning of the Mishnah, which said that where the husband or his Yarshim are arguing with the Isha as to whether at the time they got married, she was a Besula or an Almana, meaning the Isha is being Tevas Masayim, like the Ksuva Besula, and the husband or the Yarshim are saying that she only gets the Besula of an Almana, which is a Mana. And the Mishnah says that she has to produce Edim, that she was indeed a Besula at the time of the marriage, M'yesh Edim she yotzes behinuma v'roisha parua, that's the way that Besulais used to behave at the time of the Nisuin, then she gets Masayim. Otherwise, she does not win. Says the Gemara, you see that you need Dafke Edim. Haleka Edim Baal Mehemen. You see that without Edim, the Baal is the one who's believed. Lema Tanan Stamad Loikra Mingamliel. The Gemara says that would be Mashba, that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, not Loikra Mingamliel. Dira Mingamliel Ha'amar Ihi Mehemna. Mingamliel on Dafyud Bezma Bez was the one that said that if the Isha and the husband are arguing in a case where a person marries a woman and she turns out not to be a Besula, and they're arguing whether she was Nensa after Erisim, which means that it was not a Mekach Tois, it was Nestach Vasadehu, or it was something that happened prior to the Erisim, and that way it would be a Mekach Tois, and Gamliel says that she's Nemenes. Now, as we know, the Gemara over there there on Daf Yud Beis Mebeis explains two mahalchim in Shitas Rim Gamliel. One way to understand Shitas Rim Gamliel is because she has a migu. She could have theoretically said that she became a mukas eitz, and that's a better taina than the taina that she was nensa because it wouldn't pasul her lekahuna. And the other pshat the Gemara gives in Rim Gamliel is that he bases his shita on chazaka. Since we have a suffix, if at the time of the Erisin she was a Basula or not, and we know that she was born a Basula, we say, Hamid Isha Alches Kasa, and we make the assumption that the loss of Basulam took place at the latest possible moment, which is after Erisin. Now, if the Gemara over here says that the Baal is the one who's believed, and that that's not like Rabbi Gamliel, then we have to understand, in what way would Rabbi Gamliel hold in our case, in our Mishnah, that the Isha is Nemenes? After all, she doesn't have a Migu. There was no other taina that would give her the Messiah. So Rashi explains in Dibar Maschal Abal Mehemen that since we're being misapik about the Yom Nisueha, was she a Besula or was she a Be'ula? If she was a Besula, then her Ksuba is Messiah. We say also Hamid Oisa Alches Kasa, because originally she was a Besula. So the question is, when did she become a non-Besula? Was it prior to the marriage of this person with her or not? We say that Chazakah determines that it must have been at the latest possible moment, and therefore she was a Besula at the time of the marriage. Says the Ritva of a Yafa Kivin Zal. He agrees to Rashi's Pshat, the Havada Iker Taima, the Rim Gamliel Mishum Chazakah de Gufa, Kidprishis Perakama. The Ritva says that the main time of Rim Gamliel is the time of Chazakah and not the time of Migu, as he explained back in the first parak. So that is the Shita of Rashi and the Ritva, that when the Gemara says our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Gamliel, is because the Gemara understands that over here in our Mishnah we have a Chazakah, and Rabbi Gamliel, by Chazakah, holds that the Isha wins. However, the Ramban in the Mulchamis over here argues on this. Because, says the Ramban, the difference between a ksuba that's Masayim and a ksuba that's a mona is not necessarily dependent on the status of the woman, whether she's a Besula or non-Besula. Because even, for example, a woman who got married, she had Nisuin, and never was Niv'elis. She's still a Besula, but her Ksuba is still going to be a Mana. So whether you get a Ksuba Masayim or Ksuba Mana depends on whether she was previously married or not. So Bishlama, a question as to whether a woman at any given moment was a Besula or a non-Besula, we have a Chazaka de Gufa. She was born with a certain physical condition, she was a Besula, and that has a Chazaka. We say that that doesn't change until we know that it changed. However, there's no Cheskes HaGuf saying that the Isha was never married. A Guf can have a Chazaka that it's Shalim, so that we assume that the Besulim are there until we find out that they're not there. Because to say that she's no longer Besula requires seeing a change in her body. And Isha also has a Cheskes Kashrus. So if the Shaila is as to whether she was Mizana, we assume that she started out as a Ksheira and that that didn't change. However, the question as to whether she became married or not is not covered by the rule of Chazaka, because there's nothing about her body that says that she's Becheskes, that she never got married. Like the Cheskes Shalem of a woman that we say that she Mistama still has her Besulim. So the Pnei Yeshua asks under Ramban that that's very problematic, because how then are we to understand our Gemara's suggestion that the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Gamliel? After all, Rabbi Gamliel holds his Shita either because of Migu or because of the Chazaka. And here we have neither. So in such a case, Rabbi Gamliel should be Moyed to Rabbi Yeshua. Why would the Gemara say it's the Loik Rabbi Gamliel? The Chasam Sofer says that at this point the Gemara understands Misvara that since Rabbi Gamliel's Shita, when a Bari is against a Shema, like in the case of Misheristani Nenasti, the Isha says that she was Nensa after the Erisin. The Baal doesn't know what happened, but he claims maybe it actually happened before the Erisin. So the Baal is a Shema, the Isha is a Bari. When the Bari against the Shema also has a Chazaka on her side, Rabbi Gamliel says that she wins. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara understands at this point that just like Rabbi Gamliel holds, that when a Bari is up against the Shema, and the Bari has a Chazaka, the Bari wins, it would also stand to reason, Misvara, that if there's a Bari against a Bari, like in our case, where both are claiming Bari, as the Gemara explains, and the Isha has Roiv on her side, because Roiv Noshim get married when they're Besulois, the Isha also should win. Because we know that Roiv is greater than Chazaka. So if Chazaka is capable of assisting a Bari which is against the Shema, and causing her to win, so the rule of Roiv can assist a Bari even when he's against a Bari and cause her to win. Now this is very interesting, because we see the Gemara in the Teretz When the Gemara answers that Rav Gamliel would agree over here, since it's a bari and a bari, and the Gemara says, what's the half a minute to compare the case of our Mishnah to the case of Rav Gamliel? And the Gemara says that I would think that this very Rav Nashe Besuleis Nisais, would turn it into a bari v'shema. Now we have to ask, if what the Rav is doing is turning it into a bari v'shema, how could the Rav serve two functions? It not only turns it into a bari v'shema, but also assists the bari. So you have to say that Rav is that much greater than Chazakah that it could accomplish both things, and that's a big chiddush. Furthermore, according to what we're saying now, the Havamina is that when you have two people, both of them are a bari, and the one who's being moitzi mamon, like the Isha in our case, has a Rav on her side, the Rav that Rav Nashim Besuleis Nisais, the Havamina is that Rav helps her win. And the problem with saying this is that there's an entire sugya in the beginning of Perek Shragi Chasapara, the beginning of Perek Hamoicher Peris, a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, whether holchim b'mamon achar haroiv or ein holchim b'mamon achar haroiv. According to Rav, we're holchim b'mamon achar haroiv, but according to Shmuel, who we paskin like, ein holchim b'mamon achar haroiv, because hamoitzi mechaveir all of a raya. You need to have raya to be moitzi mamon, and roiv is not considered a raya. So Bishlama, if it's a bari against the Shema, and the bari has Chazaka or something like Chazaka, Roiv, or Migu assisting him, it doesn't bother us that there's a klal of Amotzi Mechaveril Varaya, as the Achronim explained back there in the sugya of Bari Vishema. Either because when you're up against a Shema, so the Shema's Chazaka is weaker, when a person's holding on to something with a tainus Shema, he may not be considered a muchzik entirely, because he's himself saying, I'm not even sure if I have rights to this money. And therefore, for that reason, we may not enact the klal of Amitz Mechavel Varaya. Or when it's a bari against a Shema, there's an idea that the bari wins before we discuss the concept of Amotzi Mechavel Varaya. There's the idea that a person could win using Tainus in court. And since Bari is a Taina that demands a response, and Shema is not a proper response, so the person automatically wins, and we don't say Amotzi Mechavel Varaya, because Bezdin already paskins that he is the winner in this court case. But that's all where the Bari is against the Shema. Here we're talking about, in our Havamina, that a Bari against a Bari will win just because of Roiv. That is the case of Ein Holchem Amaman Achara Roiv. So it's somewhat of a doichik, then you have to say that, according to the Ramban, the Havamina of our Gemara is going like Rav, who holds that Holchem Amaman Achara Haroiv. Now, since the Gemara's whole reason why Rav Gamliel could be maskim to our Mishnah is because Rav Gamliel's Shita is only true when it's a Bari versus a Shema, Masha'enken over here, it's a bari versus a bari, we have to ask the following question. Our Mishnah is discussing two possible cases, ha'isha shenis armala, or shenis garsha. Now I understand in the case of an isha shenis garsha, she's divorced from her husband, and the argument in Bezdin is taking place between herself and her former husband. She says, I was a besula when we got married, and he says, no, you were an almana. There I understand how the two of them could be bari. However, in a case where the Isha was Nisarmala, the husband is no longer here to taina against her bari, we have to deal with the taina of the Yarshim, because she's trying to take the money of the Ksuba away from the Yarshim. Now, why is the Gemara so sure that the Yarshim were around at the time that these two people got married? The Pashtus definitely is that these Yarshim weren't here, especially if they're children that were born from the two of them. So the Rosh raises this point over here in Siman Aleph. He says, "Va'almana nami chashvina tainus hayarshin bari kiven de taininan liyaspi kol ma de motzi avuin lemitan." The Rosh is bothered. How could we call the taina of the yarshim a tainus bari? We understand the taina of the father is a tainus bari, but the yarshim were not necessarily there. The Rosh explains, since there is a mechanism, there's a rule called taininan. Taininan means that we taina on behalf of somebody something that person is incapable of taining. Such as Yarshim, they don't know all of the facts to be able to taina for themselves in court, but Bezdin tainas on their behalf. There's a pasuk psach picha le'ilaim that tells me that we're ta'anina liyasmi, we're tayin on their behalf. So the Rosh is saying a very big chiddush. He says that since there's this rule called ta'aninan, when we taina on their behalf, it's considered like a tainas bari. Given the taanina liyaspi ko ma de motzi avuin lamitan, we taina on their behalf anything that the father could have tainted. And since the father could have tainted as a bari, we tainted that on their behalf as well. So that's why even in the case of Nis Armula, the Rosh is of the opinion that we consider it a bari ubari. Now this shita of the Rosh, that al yidei the rule called taninon, the fact that we taina on somebody's behalf, the taina that we taina for them, is considered a taina's bari, if that's what the father could have tainted, is not agreed upon by all Rishonim. In Tosfos and Bobasra, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Dibar Maschil Migu, it's mavur that they disagree with this Rosh. Because over there, we're discussing a person who has the karka of the father of certain Yesoimim, and he's claiming that he bought the karka from the father of the Yesoimim. And the question is that when the Yesoimim say, this is our father's karka, does the person have to swear a shuas hesis against the Yesoimim or not? When somebody tainis something to another individual and he says, you owe me money or what you're eating is mine, so the person has to respond with a shuas derabanan, it's called a shuas hesis. Now the rule is that the only time you have to swear a shuas hesis against somebody who's tainting on you is if that person is tainting a tainis bari. And therefore it says, Tosfos, that in that case you don't have to swear shuas hesis because the Yesoimim are not tainting a tainis bari because they don't know for a fact that this person didn't buy the karka from their father. So in such a case, you do not have to swear shuas hesis. So you see that even though we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim, it does not give it the toikif, the strength of a tainis bari. Because if it would, then you would have to swear shuas hesis against the Yesoimim. The Rosh over there, obviously, argues on Tosfos, and he says that Tosfos' teretz is not true, because anything that the father theoretically could have tainted, we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim, and that even gives it the quality of a tainis bari. So we see that the Rosh is l'shitasei. The question is, how is Tosfos going to learn our sugya? Tosfos does not consider the taina of taininon to be a taina's bari. So theoretically, we could say that Tosfos understands our Gemara, like the Shittim Kubetzis understands Bedas Rashi, which is that the Yesoimim that we're talking about in our sugya are Yesoimim that were from a previous marriage, and they are taina's bari, because they could know if this woman was a psula at the time of the marriage or not. However, alternatively, we could say that even though we find that Tosfos, like we said, in Bava Basra holds that the taina of taininon, when we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim, is not considered a taina's bari. And that's why Tosfos over there says that you don't have to swear a shuas hesis against the Yesoimim, that may be halacha only legabe adin a shuas hesis. Because the reason why Chazal or Machayev you to swear a shuas hesis against somebody who just tainas a taina against you is because of the klal of Ein Adam Teveya Elim Ken Yeshloi. A person is never Teveya unless he actually owns something. And therefore there's a chazaka saying that you really owe this person money. So to offset that chazaka, you need to swear Shvuas Heses. So even if we're to say that the taina that we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim has the toikif, it has the strength of a taina's bari, legabe our sugya, that's only legabe the halacha of bari v'shema. Because a bari wins against a shema, like we explained earlier, only because the bari is a stronger taina than the shema. The shema has to respond to the bari, and he doesn't respond. He just says, I don't know. So the bari wins with his taina against the shema. That makes sense when the shema should know, and he doesn't know, and the bari does know, so bari v'shema, bari adif. But the Yesoimim have no reason to know. When we taina on their behalf, we taina something that the father could have tainted. He could have tainted a taina's bari. So in terms of the strength of the taina, the bari that we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim is just as strong as the taina of the person that's taining against them. However, to be mechayev a shvuas hesis, we need to have the chazaka of Ein Adam Teveya Elim Kein Yeshloi, which is why it needs to be a taina's bari. If the person doesn't know if you owe him the money or not, that's not something that's going to generate a chazaka of Ein Adam Teveya Elim Kein Yeshloi. So for that, taninan can't help us, because even though the father could have tainted a taina's bari, we still don't have al yidei the taina that we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim, the chazaka of Ein Adam Teveya Elim Kein Yeshloi. So the weakness of a tainis shema against bari, it doesn't have. But the strength of a tainis bari to be mechayev, a shvuas heses, we also don't have. Take a look in the Kehilas Yaakov and Bava Basra Siman Zayin. He goes along these lines with his teretz, and he explains that the Rosh, who says even in Bava Basra, in the sugya of shvuas heses, that the taina that we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim has the din of a tainis bari, obviously holds that Chazal strengthened the taina that we taina on behalf of the Yesoimim as if they were taining bari. Since it says if they were taining bari, we'll have all dinim that a bari creates, including shvuas heses. The Gemara asks the Kasha that since Roiv Noshim, who get married, are Besulois, why is it that we need Edim to come and say that she was a Besula? Why doesn't the Roiv help? Toises in Dibur Maschel Kivon says, L'Rav Paruch, we're asking only according to Rav, the Islay, Holchem Mamon Achar Roiv. We mentioned earlier, the Shita of Rav is that you go after Roiv by Mamon. Because, of course, according to Shmuel, who holds Ein Holchem Mamon Achar Roiv, the Gemara would never be able to ask such a question. You can't use Roiv to be Moitzi, the extra mana of the Ksuba, and that's why the Mishnah says you need Edim. However, the Toises Yeshanim over here says, Efshir Da'afilu L'Shmuel, Havalon L'Mezo Basaruba. It's possible that even according to Shmuel, we should go after Roiv, v'loy acher cheskes mamon, and not after the muchzik, like we usually do. The reason, he says, is given the cheskes haguf misayeya l'roiv. Over here we have cheskes haguf that's being misayeya to the Roiv. So when you have a chazaka together with Roiv, the chazaka is that she started off as a besula, and we have the Roiv that, you know, she probably was a besula at the time because most of the women who get married are besulais. In that case, even Shmuel, who holds Enoch Mamarach Roiv, is Moide. And this is the Shita of Roiv Rishonim and the Fyurim and Aleph in the Sugya of Pesach Pasuach, that when you have Chazaka together with Roiv, then it wins out against a Muchzik. Now, Tosfos obviously doesn't agree to this Taina, because Tosfos is saying that the Gemara's Kasha only works according to Rav. Why is it that Tosfos argues and says that the Gemara is only asking according to Rav, but according to Shmuel, just like you don't go b'mamon achar roiv, you also wouldn't go b'mamon achar roiv when it's together with the cheskas besula. And the Pnei Yeshua actually proves, like the Shita of the other Rishonim, who say that roiv together with chazaka, you could be moitzi mamon, based on the following cheshbon. He says that we know that when you have a bari against a shema, and there's a chazaka being meseyeya, the bari, Rabbi Gamliel's Shita is that the bari together with chazaka wins out. That we saw, and if you'd beis mebeis in the sugya misher is tanin and nasty. So if bari v'shema together with chazaka wins against the muchzik, then certainly roiv together with the chazaka should win against the muchzik, because after all, says the Pnei Yeshua, we know that roiv is better than bari v'shema. What's the raya to that? We know that Roiv, he says, helps by Isser. Bari v'shema doesn't help by Isser. And he brings a raya from the fact that when something is ischazik isura, when we have a chazaka, that something is usser, an eid echad would not be neman, be isurim. Let's say you have a piece of alleged chaylev. We think that it's chaylev, it was huchzik to be chaylev, so we assume that it was usser. An eid echad cannot come along and say, this thing is mutter, it's not chaylev. Even if he's a bari and everybody else is a shema, bari does not win against the shema when it comes to yisurim. Yet, roiv does. So you see that roiv is stronger, it's a stronger haichacha than bari v'shema. So if bari v'shema can pair up with chazaka and be moitzi mamon, roiv should definitely be able to pair up with chazaka and be moitzi mamon. However, according to one hesber that we said earlier, as to why a bari could win against the shema and be moitzi mamon, there is not necessarily a raya, because we explained that it's possible that the reason why bari, together with chazaka, or even those shittas that all bari wins without a chazaka, can win against a shema when the shema is the muchzik, is because when a person is holding on to something and he doesn't know for sure if he has rights to that mamon, so it's not a real muchzik. The tainus shema weakens his muchzakus. This is a svara that Tosfos says on daf ayin vav. In which case we could say very simply, when bari v'shema is together with the chazaka, then Rabbi Gamliel holds that the chazaka is capable of being moitzi from the muchzik, because since he's a shema, there's a weakening of his muchzakus. But if a roiv is together with chazaka, and the person who's holding on to it is a bari, then you don't have the weakening of the muchzakus, and there's lav dafka a raya that roiv and chazaka would be able to be moitzi the moment. So it's quite possible that Tosfos disagrees with the premise of all of these other Rishonim, that roiv and chazaka could be moitzi mamon. And that's why Tosfos says that our Gemara's Kasha is only a Kasha according to Rav, but according to Shmuel, we never would ask such a Kasha because ein holch mamon achar roiv, and just like you don't go b'mamon achar roiv, you don't go b'mamon after roiv and chazaka together against the muchzik. However, alternatively, we could say that the reason why Tosfos says that our Gemara's Kasha is only according to Rav is because he holds like the Melchamas, the Ramban that we mentioned earlier, who holds that over here there really is no chazaka, because as we said, b'shem the Ramban, cheskas besula is a chazaka. But over here, in order for her ksuba to be masayim, she needs to be not only a besula, she has to be a woman who was never married. Even a woman who got married and was never nevelas also doesn't have a ksuba masayim. And as the Ramban said, legabi the question as to whether she ever got married, we don't have a chazaka. We have a cheskes haguf saying that her guf started off as a besula, and it probably didn't change until we know that the change occurred. But there's nothing about her body that says, I was never married. So if Tosfos holds like the Ramban, then what they say over here makes a lot of sense. It's dafka, according to Rav, that the Gemara is asking the kasha that Roiv should win out against the Muchzik. In answer to the question that since there's a Roiv, why do you need Edim? Roiv Noshim Besulois Nisois. Roiv of the women that get married in their Besulois. The Gemara says, Amar Avinu Mishem Deikal Ameim Roiv Noshim Besulois Nisois. There is a Roiv Noshim that get married when they're Besulois. Umiyat Almonis. But there's a Miyat of those that get married when they're Almonis. V'chol HaNisis Besula Yeshla Koil. However, everybody who marries when she's a Besula, there's a Kol. V'zu Hoil Vein La Koil Israel Aruba. Since she doesn't have a Kol, so there's a Reyesa in the Roiv. The Gemara then says, Ikol HaNisis Besula Yeshla Koil. If everybody who gets married when she's a Besula, there's a so even if Edim come and say that she was a Bsula, it's clear that Hanach Sadi Shakri Ninu. They're liars because everybody who gets married when she's a Bsula has a kol. This one is lacking a kol, so the Edim must not be telling the truth. Elam Ravina, Roiv Anisei's Bsula Yesh La Kol. Roiv of the women that get married when they're Bsulais have a kol. Vizu Hoyel Ve'en La Kol Israel Aruba. So it's not that kol Anisei's Bsula Yesh La Kol. Rather, Roiv of those that get married when they're Bsula have a kol. But there's a miyot that gets married when she's a psula and doesn't have a kol, and therefore we don't have a raya that the edim are shakronim. So it comes out that the way that our gemara works is that there's a roiv that most of the women that get married are psulais. That's one roiv. But there's also a roiv that those that do get married when they're psulais have a kol. So if there are no edim saying that she was a psula, then she can't be moitzi mamon based on the roiv of the world, the Roiv Noshim Nisais Besulais, because we have the other Roiv going Keneged. But if Edim do come, we don't say that the Edim are Shakronim, because all there is a Roiv against the Edim, and not Kol. Now the Achroinim, Reb Ruvain in Bava Basra, Simen Chof, and over here in the Chedusha Reb Shloima, discuss two possible tzadim, how to understand what the Gemara means. One way to understand is that we have one roiv keneged another roiv. There is one roiv that says that this woman must have been a psula at the time of the marriage, because al pi pashtas, most of the women that get married in general are psulais. Roiv hanisais are psulais. And that roiv seems to tell us that this woman at the time of the marriage was a psula. And we have another roiv running counter to that roiv, which is that most of the women that are besulois have a koil. So that roiv is pulling us in the other direction. It seeks to convince us that she was not a besula at the time of the marriage. She was an almana. In which case, we have one davar hamachria in one direction, and another davar hamachria in the other direction. We have one roiv telling us that she was a besula, and another roiv telling us that she was not a besula. It's a roiv, keneged roiv. And when you have a fight between two roivs like that, we say ha-moitzi mechav el-varaya, and she would not be able to be moitzi the moment. However, the other way to learn is that it's not as if we have one davar machria, one roiv saying she was a psula, and another roiv saying that she was not a psula. Rather, all we have is really one roiv that says she was a psula, because roiv, people that get married, are psulais. What the other roiv, that roiv people that get married when they're psulais have a kol, does is it serves to weaken the other roiv. Reb Shlomo is medayik this from Lashon of the Gemara. Roiv anisis v'sula yesh la koil, v'zu hoil v'ein la koil, isra la ruba. What the roiv that Ravina introduced does is it weakens the first roiv. And it's not a roiv keneged roiv. Roiv keneged roiv is where one roiv is paskening that she must have been a psula, and the other roiv is paskening she must have been an almana. What he says is happening here is that there is one roiv saying that she must have been a psula. The second roiv does not say she must have been an almana. Rather, it casts a question on what the first roiv told me. Because even though the first roiv says she must have been a psula, most people that get married are psulas. We have a question though. Why wasn't there a koil? Usually, when a woman gets married when she's a psula, there is a koil. And he says that you see this in Toisvis de Bramaschel Vizu. Because Toisvis says the roiv noshim besulais nisais, the first roiv is adif be roiv noshim hanisais besulais yesh la koil. It's greater than the second roiv. Why is it greater? Says Reb Shloima, because the aside of roiv is that we're toila, that the thing that we're mesupik about must be from the roiv. He says that you learn the whole din of roiv from Achir Rabin Lahatis, which is a pasuk by Dayanim. They're machria through majority that the halacha is like the roiv, like the people that say one way. Similarly, he says, anytime you have a roiv, what roiv does is tells me that the thing that you're being mistapic about is from the roiv. Now, the first roiv can do that. The first roiv can claim that since this is a woman, and most women who get married in their besulais, the first roiv claims this woman must have been a besul when she got married. The second roiv is not claiming that this woman is from the majority of women. Because if we listen to the second roiv, then we will come to the conclusion that she was really an almana when she got married, and that means that she's not from the roiv. We're saying she was from the miyat. She's from the miyat women that when they get married, they're married as almanas, not as psulis. So since the roiv, the second roiv, is not claiming that this woman must have been from the roiv, and that's the whole exeris akasav of roiv, to say that you assume that the person or the thing you're being mistapic about came from the roiv, this we're not doing. We're not saying that she is from the roiv noshim. All the roiv can then do is create a reyesa in a different roiv. It doesn't pass him that she's from the roiv, because no matter what, we're going to say that she was from the miyat nashim. She's from the miyat nashim who get married when they're almanas. Since there's no din in the Torah that tells us al pi roiv to assume that somebody is from the miyat, all it has the koyach to do is to create a reyesa in the roiv. And he says that's a pshat in Tosfos. However, from the Rashbam in Baba Basra, Daf Tzadik Beis Mebeis, Dibur Amasil Isra, it's mashpah that he does understand that we're dealing with one roiv keneged another roiv. Because Lashon of the Rashbam over there is, V'kivin de'ikal o'meimer hachi. V'ikal o'meimer hachi hamoitz mechaveri olav haraya. That Lashon is mashpah that I'm being pulled in two separate directions. According to the way that these Achrayim are explaining, with Dasa Toisfis, it's not an ikal o'meimer hachi, v'ikal o'meimer hachi. It's that the second roiv weakens the koyach of the first roiv, and I'm left back to square one as if I didn't have a roiv to begin with. Take a look at the Chiddushi Reb Reuven in Baba Basra Simen Chaf for more of an arich.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.